And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, and a beard here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Hello. Okay, let me push the button. Yay! Okay, we're doing now. Wait. And then there's Tim. And now we need to do the split thing, which is a whole nother thing. I gotta learn the thing because I'm, you know. Give me a while, man. I mean, crap, I'm not done setting everything up. Well, Tim came in and helped with, you know, making sure we get all the different streaming. I sent that stuff to Derek, and Derek, you know, he thinks he knows what to do with it. And we'll be able to live stream on a bunch of different services. Then we'll be able to do the show. There's a bunch of stuff. But I just got the lights up. I got, you know,
I didn't break it.
It's been a thing. So, but it worked out well. I mean, it's there were some issues, but Derek helped me with last night, so we got it going. We're up to speed and new, and you get, big thing is you get to where you can freaking read it. You know, I mean, how clear is that on the feed? Are you looking at the feed at all, Tim?
No, right now I just see my face coming back to me.
Okay. Well, this is, all right. So we're working on this. Now, Dr. Frank is, he's in the middle of all kinds of stuff. He's going to be taking a little bit of time off and just, you know, phoning it or Skyping it in as we go through the holidays. And he's got a bunch of things going on with his business and might be moving and baby and all that kind of stuff. So Tim's going to help us out. The, Trump report. It's kind of Trump report. I want to get the economy too, and a lot of stuff going on. You know, what's the news that's breaking? We got to know all about there. Tim, help me out.
Well, the economy right now has a lot to do with Trump. We just had this weekend. There was a supposed, trade deal an agreement to come to a deal to negotiate at some point. And of course, you know, this is, and yesterday we saw the stock market rally quite a bit. I'm not sure what it finished up, which I should know exactly. But at one point, I believe it was up like almost like 500 points, and the NASDAQ was up like 2% at one point. They didn't finish nearly at that level, but it was all on the fact that now we've got this great trade deal that is supposedly coming or could potentially come. But what they did is they decided, you know, hey, we're not going to have any, trade sanctions or anything for at least another 90 days. So we're going to have a 90-day reprieve. And I think, part of the reason for that is because, you know, as Mike Tyson once said, you know, everyone has a plan until, you know, I punch him in the face. Except this time, we're the ones punching each other, punching ourselves in the face. And, you know, I think it was also Doug Casey when we were both on the show together that one time. What did he say? It was a tariff is an embargo imposed on yourself.
I know, so, that was awesome.
So at this rate, I mean, really, I think this is Donald Trump absolutely blinking big time, because he knows and everybody else knows that there's, I would say actually most of Americans have no idea, especially even the people that are super, super MAGA. And I'm not saying that that's Dr. Frank necessarily, but a lot of people just think that, you know, he walks on water and there's nothing that he does that could possibly ever go wrong. And he also tweeted out two or three days ago that China has agreed to reduce and remove tariffs on cars coming into China from the U.S., currently, the tariff is 40%. The Chinese responded with, I don't know if we really said that or not, but apparently that's what Donald Trump is touting. And it's, you know, Americans aren't even buying American cars, let alone having, you know, Chinese buy American cars. I mean, are the Chinese going to be buying, you know, all the GM, bigger SUV type vehicles? Are they going to be buying, you know, Ford's, you know, pickup trucks? You know, I don't think so. And I think actually, and this is funny because I believe you and Donna just got a Buick. I think the Buick actually is like a big sign of status over there in China. So maybe they'll be buying more Buicks, but who knows? It all seems like it's the appearance of a deal is almost more important than the actual deal itself, which is what we saw when there was that NAFTA renegotiation, which is now called the USMCA. And if you guys remember, the NAFTA was the worst deal that was ever negotiated in the history of deals. And basically what we did was we changed the name, made a few little minor tweaks around the edges, and now supposedly it's the best deal in the history of deals because Donald Trump helped negotiate it. And so it's just, I really think that this is going to be the exact same thing when it comes to these trade deals. And, part one of this, I think we just saw this past weekend when they supposedly came to a deal to at a future date come to a deal. And, I'm just not buying this at all. And whether they come to a deal or not, I think is completely immaterial to the greater economic understanding of things that are really going on. It's just, one more negative headwind when we've already got 9 million different headwinds going against us. So just for the fact that we're taking one straw off this camel's back for 90 days doesn't mean that something else can't come in. And, whether it's, the amount of debt that all these corporations have right now that's getting rolled over, I'm trying to see if I've got the article in front of me, but there's something like over $1 trillion the next couple of years of just corporate debt that needs to be rolled over because the companies can't afford to pay their debt. There's a huge amount of companies in America that can't even basically service their debt at the current levels. We're not even talking about paying it down. We're talking about just servicing the debt. And there was a Zero Hedge article from 2 days ago talking about the $1.6 trillion debt tsunami of worry that's on the way. And that just has to deal with companies that had a bunch of short-term debt that they were basically getting at near zero. And when you go from, let's say zero to 5% and you're dealing with, $100 billion, all of a sudden now you're talking about some real money. So this is sort of like where the Trump report and the economic, report over here just all sort of meld into one, because so much of what's going on with the stock market and everything really has to do with Trump. And one entity one of these markets that's not necessarily buying what's going on right now would be the bond market. Because usually when things are very optimistic, people are moving from bonds into stocks. And what we saw was that the treasury yield actually went down a little bit yesterday while the stock market was soaring, which is usually, so the bond market is basically calling bullshit on, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that, but I'm not sure if anyone could hear me anyways. If it was based on the last guest, I unfortunately couldn't hear. I didn't listen to the last 10 minutes, so I wasn't sure.
Well, we got it. We got it fixed.
Okay. And, I want to give a quick shout out to Chris Karabatz, who he told me that of Smart Cash, and he told me, he goes, hey, if you want to listen to somebody that knows a lot about what's going on with Bitcoin Cash, and the Bitcoin SV fork drama that's going on, he goes, you got to tune into Chris Pasha. So unfortunately, we didn't get to hear him. I'm sure you'll have him on many times in the future. And
we'll get the archive up so you can tell. The main thing is my mantra that I in the last week I've been working in the studio here getting this done, and I haven't had time to really pursue it. But Wednesday I just kind of pulled it up and did some Tarzan Keith, and did a bunch of just some links and some research, and I'm getting the idea that there's going to be more than anything else. I'm thinking there's going to be a money laundering of big giant state actors and a lot of people that your traditional need money laundering of a drug cartel kind of thing, arms deals and so on, going through different countries doing it. They need crypto, but they need it fiat sanctioned crypto. They need Uncle Sam approved, and it's now pushed a button and it's laundered, and we didn't have to move a single pallet of cash. So I see that coming. That is the one thing. And while they're screaming about these guys are money launderers, they're setting it up for them to do it for the big bad boys. And it's some desperation from this Craig Wright guy. Now, I hear Roger Ver going, well, I hope Calvin Iyer, comes back into the fold, and he seems like a good kind of whatever. And I'm going, I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. I just want to put that out there, and the guy's going to get back to me. This is just my sense of what's happening. So when you have the big economic downturn, Tim may be able to shed some light on the needs of the state and the banking, central banking, and the services they give to all these money laundering traditional guys. We'll talk about it when we come back. We just had Richard Grove had a guy, a whistleblower from HSBC, on. We put up over the weekend. that was enlightening, too. We'll be right back. From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. Okay. Did you check the streaming?
Me? I tried it earlier, back when it didn't work. I haven't in the past like half an hour. Let me...
Well, it was late at the end of the last segment that we got it.
Yeah, can we get a side-by-side? Is that possible?
Probably. I haven't figured it out yet.
Or if we just put it up on... I mean, the easy way in the meantime would be to... I mean, obviously, we can't do it during break right now, but to go to... if we just head up on Zoom, it just automatically can put it side-by-side. Without any of the...
Well, you know, then it's time for you to get your butt over here and...
Well, yeah. I sent you, speaking of money laundering, Deutsche Bank, I just looked at this article while you were talking about money laundering. This is a headline from today. German criminal probe zeroes in on tiny unit sold by Deutsche Bank. So it's saying, oh, you know, like the $100 billion that we're laundering. Don't worry. That was just, you know, a tiny, tiny, barely profitable, earmarked for sale since 2016. Part of Deutsche Bank anyway, so no worries.
We can talk about it. What was happening? The HSBC guy, I should pull this up.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're right back. We're looking for, oh, here it is. Okay, let's see. Richard Grove on. It was an interview that he did with a gentleman that was from HSBC. And what he did is, he had a job as when he was doing savings and loans, or not savings and loans, what do you call it, credit unions and so on, that he was able to determine, you know, money laundering, or you go through and you're looking for compliance, or that was his job. So he comes over to HSBC, and he starts to see all these accounts and different escrow accounts for attorneys that they're using, flow-through accounts. Heck, they started using his name. You know, they're coming. He's like, whoa, hell no. So what he did is he started recording every phone conversation, every conversation he had with these guys. So he's got hundreds of hours on a CD that you can get online. Then, of course, you know, the man comes after him, and, you know, and hilarity ensued. But his whole thing was, he goes, look, I can see they were setting you bitch about it, they set you up. And he's going, oh, hell no, I'm not having anything to do with this. And they're talking gazillions of dollars of money laundering through HSBC? Hong Kong Shanghai Bank
Corporation.
Yeah, so this is like, you know, the British back in the day thing. So this is coming out. Well, who was the attorneys? And so it was Holder and Lynch and all this whole, you know, and Mueller. I mean, Mueller. So this whole Obama Clinton thing is this machine's been going on. And he went on for at least an hour or so talking with Richard Grove and try and get him on. And it was amazing how much money we're talking about here, and that they have these little departments that are there just to flow through. Well, it still kind of has a paper trail. So if they can do state-sanctioned crypto, and it's gone, okay? And you don't have to have pallets of cash you deal with somewhere. So I'm going, yeah, I'm starting to see what's happening, and they're in a hurry. You know, because this financial thing is going to come unwound, and they got to, you know, get it all laundered and off somewhere. So you're saying that there was some news with Deutsche Bank, you know, here of late that, you know, I know there was some big, hell, the fines they were getting is about as much as all the whole market cap for crypto entirety, just for their fine, you know. So what did you find out? What's going on?
It's very, very similar to what's going on with when it comes to the trade deal. You know, whether or not there's a trade deal or not, Deutsche Bank or, you know, the U.S. economy is in big trouble. And whether or not Deutsche Bank gets hit with all these fines, they were in big trouble well before all these fines. It's just one more thing. And what I saw, there was an article from today from the Financial Times. It says German criminal probe zeroes in on tiny unit sold by Deutsche Bank. And it goes on the very first sentence here. The business at the core of Deutsche Bank's latest money laundering probe was tiny, barely profitable, and earmarked for sale since early 2016, according to several people briefed on the matter. So it's trying to say, like, oh, this wasn't all Deutsche Bank. This was just, you know, a tiny little unit. So that's supposed to make me feel better that just a tiny little unit was able to launder over, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. I almost said of crypto, but you know, it's worth more than the entire crypto space, and yet, you know, we're the evil money laundering, you know, drug dealer type people. You know, that will get taken out of context if I ever run for anything someday. But you know, here it is. As we saw, I guess with Kyrsten Sinema, how they can go back to the tapes on Ernie's show. But But it's just, you know, unbelievable that this Deutsche Bank, I mean, its stock is absolutely collapsing. I mean, it's high at one point. The stock was at 115, and today it's at $9. I mean, so Deutsche Bank is on its way to zero. It's a dead zombie bank. I mean, and there was a great interview that I watched this weekend on, what's the guy? It's a USA Watchdog. I think it's Greg Hunter is the guy's name. He had a guy on who was very knowledgeable about Deutsche Bank. And basically what they're saying is that if they were to, you know, have all these different rules that are different regulations that were that could be applied to the entire banking sector, the reason they're holding off on a lot of these rules that would actually, you know, maybe restrain some of these banks, not talking about the BS, you know, Dodd-Frank rules or that they have that don't do anything. But what they're trying to say is the reason that Germany is pushing back on this big time because Deutsche Bank, there's no way they could comply with any of these capital requirements. So now there's even more fraud in the system because Deutsche Bank allows for other smaller frauds at other banks to persist because they are, you know, it would be probably a bigger than Lehman Brothers type event. And it's just an absolute dead zombie bank. I wasn't planning on talking about this today, but it was a good segue as we're talking about money laundering and talking about some other issues.
Yeah, my thing is money laundering is a launder. What does that even mean? And from whom? You know, money is, it's a tool of, I mean, it's not the crime. It may be evidence or point to or follow the money or something like that. But, you know, money is, they made this crime up. You know, the RICO statutes, racketeering thing, when you got abused. And I say if you have private money, it solves a whole bunch of problems, you know, and a lot of this, everything that they're accusing you of, they do worse. It's this projection thing. So what is it, you know, we got a bunch of Trump stuff going on. This Dan Bongino, you know, has really done a good narrative. You know, Frank's all about that, you know, and I go, have you been paying attention to this, Keith, that Dan Bongino guy? Okay, wait. I'm not getting audio on that one. Try it again.
Check.
There you go.
Yeah, is this Dan Bongino guy a federal employee that gets Wednesday
off? Oh, now it didn't do it again.
Check.
Oh, there you go. Oh, it's that one. Okay.
Yeah, it's this one. Is this Dan Bongino guy a federal employee that gets Wednesday off because it's a George Bush holiday?
You know, this is a... Did you see that video that he did?
Didn't see anything.
You know, did you, Tim? Did you watch it?
No, I mean, I am familiar with who Dan Bongino is. I think he was the guy that was a former Secret Service agent,
right,
during the Clintons?
Well, it was the main thing. He did this book called Spygate, and it's all on, this Mueller thing and connections and who. And it's all the same people intertwined with each other. Holder, Lynch, Mueller, Comey, Clintons. It's all part of the same thing. And they're in the third stage. They haven't got rid of Trump. And now they're really into the negotiations of the cover-up. So I'm waiting for this to break. And, you know, it seems
I thought you said you're going to wait for the movie. I thought that's where you're going with that.
Well, you know, Trump, the movie. I mean, it's going to, you know, bring all this up. I'm going to feel a lot better about when that gets done, if anybody does it right. But I don't know how much longer they can put this out. And the one thing that worries me is now we have Pelosi is Speaker of the House now, right?
I believe in January.
I mean, she's like got anointed or got enough, because that puts her, if there's something goes wrong with Trump and Pence, she's the next president.
Well, I certainly hope so. The t-shirt is in the works.
Move over, boys. It's Pelosi in a walker. There's something else going on. What are some of the tidbits you've been following that got your interest, Tim?
Well, I mean, to kind of maybe segue on what Keith was saying. Hey, Keith, everyone has Wednesday off for George H.W. Bush. Yesterday, I was home with my daughters because their babysitter, you know, had a scheduled surgery, and I was watching. I suggested myself to CNBC, and the lionization of George H.W. Bush was just absolutely crazy. I mean, they were saying that he was among the best Earth had to possibly offer, and heaven's getting the absolute best on Earth. I mean, and just stuff that would just absolutely make your head spin. So are we on break right now?
We're going to it. We'll be right back. Yeah, you can finish your thought. We'll save it for when we come back.
Okay.
All right. Now let me see what's wrong with this other mic. We'll be right back.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And we're back, because I'm still playing with stuff. All right. So we got, Keith, Tarzan Keith in. We have Tim Pachote online. And the main thing that I wanted to make sure that we got to is there's a lot of changes that are going to happen before the end of the year. And the first week in January, we do predictions. Well, I'm kind of building up the predictions. The first thing is what do we even want to predict? You know, so Tim, you got some predictions you think that we should be predicting, because predictions will be coming in the first of the year predictions?
I don't know how good my predictions are.
I'm not even saying what the predictions are. You know, just what's the topic we should even predict? You know, should we, worry about dollar hegemony? Should we, talk about mushroom clouds? Is there going to be war with? Is there going to be a crypto that breaks out of the whatever? Is food going to be a thing? Is inflation going to hit? Is the petrodollar going to fall? Is, they're going to do impeachment? There's a lot. I mean, what issues should we even be thinking about?
Yeah, those sounds more important than the one I made 2 years ago about Megyn Kelly not making it over wherever she was at.
Megyn Kelly didn't make it.
Yeah, and then I also thought that Bitcoin was going to go down to like $300 when it was at 1,000. So I was then I reversed that one quickly.
Now we have Bitcoin Cash down to 150. I don't really hear a lot about the price. You know, the price will go up with the usage, and I'm just like, now I'm going, damn man, it hit 150. I was worried when it hit 160, I wouldn't have enough money to buy some. You know. And now, because I got I had to put a bunch of money into the studio, and I'm going, damn it. You know, so now it's down to 150 something. I'm going, yeah, I'm glad I waited. I get another, some more money. I'll buy me some crypto. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, can we finish up the thought on George H.W. Bush and then kind
go
back? So, it was the constant lionization of H.W. that he's, the best Earth has to offer. And I just wanted to, vomit. And then, it would be awesome if you could have maybe Richard Grove, do a much better job of this than me, because this is all just stuff that's off the top of my head in terms of the Bushes. But I did go back like a tiny bit to do some research, because what people don't realize about, even if you look at like the H.W., like the H.W. in George H.W. Bush stands for Herbert Walker. Who was the father-in-law. I mean, he was a big banker, actually a big-time Democrat. He originally ran the Hamburg America, which later became Brown Brothers Harriman, which had most of their assets came from the Germans and Russians. And basically, it was a nice way of putting it, if you look on his Wikipedia, it's a nice way of putting it that he was, a major banker for the Nazis. And then his son-in-law, Prescott Bush, which was the father of George H.W. Bush, I didn't even realize this till a few days ago. He was the first treasurer of Planned Parenthood. Even I didn't know that. So
who was?
So Prescott Bush was George H.W. Bush's father was the first treasurer of Planned Parenthood. And even I learned that this weekend. I didn't actually know.
Well,
that.
You know, Herbert Walker was his Prescott Bush's partner on something.
Yeah, that was like Brown Brothers Harriman, which were the people that helped basically hide money laundering. This is all tying back to money laundering, I guess. Money laundering for the Nazis, which is maybe why the left and the right loves him so much. That, you know,
yeah, no, I think I'm until somebody can prove me right, I think I'm wrong. I think I'm right on this. You know, I think that this whole thing on the crypto deal and so on, their fear of it is not because somebody's money laundering. It's because, you know, they need to get it done their way. And these the blockchain, you know, has record of it. Now, whose it is, you know, is another thing. But when it's to the tune of $1 trillion, you know, they're going, gee, I think that, you know, who would do that, you know, kind of thing. And
they wouldn't do that.
That'd be wrong. So there's something I wouldn't even know where to look or how to, but I'm putting the feelers out there on this because I know it's going to come up, you know, snake eyes on these guys. They're going to be able to see what's going on. But so your thing with George H.W. Bush is that, yeah, he's just in the long line of. You look at his pedigree.
We didn't get into Samuel. We didn't get into Samuel P. Bush, which I didn't know this until I was just.
All right, who's Samuel?
So Samuel was the father of Prescott Bush.
Ah!
And Samuel P. Bush was a former governor of the Cleveland Federal Reserve. So,
wow.
I mean, it's just like, man, like, it's just absolutely crazy. And so then you see, you know, after, but it's like, oh, look at George H.W. Bush, and he's got some cute socks on. He was such a nice guy, and he represented a brand of politics that you just don't see anymore. And he, you know, would, you know, have Democrats over to go, you know.
He was director of the CIA.
Yeah, and the big reason everybody hates, you know, Putin so much is that here's a former head of the KGB who's now running the country, and basically our version of the KGB who's now was running a country and then running everything else, but then it's like, oh, look at, he's got, you know, rainbow colored socks on, and he just.
Well, I guarantee they aren't talking about the Franklin scandal or the, you know, the little boys club of they had going in the White House kind of stuff, which was a Washington Times thing that broke in the late 80s. Oh, you didn't know about this, Keith? Oh,
I didn't know,
man.
About it. I was only like 3 years old. So
have you guys ever heard? All right, I'll just do a quick wiki on this thing. You guys are going to be freaked out. I'm telling you, these guys are. It's amazing. Well, you know. All right, let me see if I can. Yeah, I'm still learning this thing.
I almost said sorry. Sorry, Frank, that we deviated a little bit from the Trump report.
Well, we'll get to it. Okay, Frank, Lynn. Scandal, Bush, boom. Oh, I should
does
just say
does not exist in Wikipedia.
Oh, it doesn't. Well, here no. I'll put Wiki. We'll see. Because there's a bunch of stuff up there.
I'm on Wikipedia, so it'd be funny.
Okay, if you Franklin child prostitution ring allegations Wikipedia. Okay, so we'll do that. All right, let's read this and you'll see what the deal is. The Franklin child prostitution ring allegations began in June 1988 in Omaha, Nebraska, and attracted significant public and political interest until late 1990, when separate state and federal grand juries concluded that the allegations were unfounded. All right, here's the allegations. In 1988, authorities looked into allegations that prominent citizens of Nebraska as well as high-level U.S. politicians were involved in a child prostitution ring. Alleged abuse victims were interviewed who claimed that children in foster care were flown to the East Coast of the United States to be sexually abused at bad parties. The claims primarily centered on Lawrence King Jr., who ran the now defunct Franklin Community Federal Credit Union in Omaha, and alleged that the ring was a cult of devil worshipers involved in the mutilation, sacrifice, and cannibalism of numerous children. Numerous conspiracy theories evolved, claiming that the alleged abuse was part of a widespread series of crimes, including devil worship, cannibalism, drug trafficking, and CIA arms dealing. So the state and federal investigation went on and on and on and on and on, but this went all the way to the Bush White House. So this was, if you were active in politics in the late 80s, early 90s, when I first got in, you know, this was a big thing to Bush and the CIA of, because this is why you hear me say, yep, you know, child molestation is a minimum job requirement for a high-level office, okay? This is how they did it, because they would compromise them, or at least given the impression of compromise, whatever, Bush, CIA director. This is, you go back to Franklin scandal, this Pizzagate and all this stuff that's is just a continuation of been way back a technique of how they get you. And I just, so when they do all that, I'm going, my son, he was, man, it just really set him off. That's what sent him down the QAnon thing, which I think that this Q thing is just controlled opposition kind of crap. Going, we'll see what happens there.
Zach,
I'm not feeling it, But so that's what sent him down that road. I go, well, let me tell you, this has been going on a long time. So that you look up Franklin, the Franklin scandal, and you start doing some research on that, man, it gets really hairy. And that wiki thing does not do it justice. It was much wider. So there, your heroes.
Yep. And then just to not to make light of this situation and not to, make a joke about someone who just died. But, when it's somebody like George H.W. Bush, I think I make exceptions. But, I heard that Jeb Bush is going to be the pallbearer. That way he can let his father down one more time.
Oh, that's cold.
That's too soon.
That's cold. Never too soon. It's just cold.
With somebody from like the Franklin cover up and all this other stuff, I feel like he's going to be very warm in a place with John McCain where he's going.
Yeah, there's so high. The memes have not started a lot yet. We'll see. Maybe we'll put some up. From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, it worked! Okay, yeah, I pushed the right button that time. Yay! Alright. See, that one. Yeah. Okay, we're working on it. We're working on it. Tim's helping us. Alright. The, what I'm hoping to get on the so it's Trump report, is some Trump.
Go to Trump's Twitter page. There's enough there for like
a lot.
Just from the last 2 days.
Okay, well, give me a little bit on this China thing. Now he's with Z, they're doing the 90 day. We're going to put off and not do something. The stock markets are something. They're just it's all perception and BS. What's really going on? Is there deals to be had and made and kind of, and then we got France, how's Macron doing? And Merkel, all European continent is freaking going up. Brexit, whether they're going to actually do that or not. I just feel, pardon me?
And Italy has blown up too.
Yeah, no, Italy. Well, we had Alessandro Fasillo from Italia on, and he's just like, yeah, we're done.
Buongiorno.
And we're done.
Arrivederci.
Even there, Chia Europe. Okay, so I'll pull up the Twitter here, and you can tell me what's up.
Well, there's one from 44 minutes ago where maybe I should just read the entire thing. There's like a stream of like five tweets in a row, but this one's like in the middle of one. It goes dot 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 dot. I am a tariff man. When people or countries come in to raid the great wealth of our nation, I want them to pay for the privilege of doing so. I mean, what? It will always be the best way to max out our economic power. We are right now taking in billions in tariffs. Make America rich again. I mean, so who's paying the tariffs? It's the Americans that are paying the tariffs. So we're going to make ourselves rich by paying more for the products. And I'm sure that this is not news to anybody listening. I mean, luckily, this is a much smarter audience than like your you know, your standard audience that's out there. And, you know, right now I feel like if anything, you know, China's getting the raw end of the deal. I mean, we take IOUs and give them digital IOUs, and then we can't pay for those digital IOUs. So then we give them more digital IOUs to pay back for the other interest on the IOUs that we couldn't pay for to begin with. And they give us real stuff. And so we're taking real stuff, whether it's crap or not. We're getting real stuff. They're getting IOUs. And then even Mike Pence came out maybe like a month ago, and I'm paraphrasing, and said something to the effect of, you know, he pointed his finger at either Xi or one of his, the president of China, or one of his advisors, and said something to the effect of, you know, you're a predatory nation for lending money to countries that can't afford to pay it back, and you guys should stop. And I'm like, well, who is he talking about? I mean, us, like, yeah, like we're a bunch of deadbeats, and it's your guys' fault for selling us to debt. I mean, to a certain extent, he's right. But I mean, what do you want them to do? Like just stop this altogether? And then the fact that, you know, you can raid our country, but you've got to pay for the privilege of doing so. I mean, and this is a tweet I didn't see before the show because it came out 46 minutes ago. And I don't go on Twitter anyways. I just thought that in honor of Dr. Frank, that I thought I'd go there. But you know, it's sort of like this whole Saudi deal. Like, okay, you know, you can, you know, commit 9/11, and you can, throw gays off buildings, and you can do all this other terrible stuff. But as long as you buy $300 billion worth of weapons, we're all cool now.
Okay, yeah, that's one other thing. This Saudi Arabian deal, the CIA. We got signal of everything because we're covering all the signals. Are they listening to it live? Probably not. You know, and if they are, you know, I don't know how much they can, you know, whatever, but it's the person of interest, perfect example of this. They have everything. Then when they want to, they go back and they look for it. So this is what they're doing. They went back and they found, you know, him talking or whatever and ordering the hit, or that's what they're claiming. And Trump is like, nah. We're going to still have to do business with bad guys. You know, there's a lot of bad guys doing bid. We're doing business. Well, then I'm going, all right, what is the CIA getting involved in countering him? Where before, John Brennan, he did whatever freaking, Obama and Hillary told him to do. Well, now who's head of the CIA now? I lost track. Is that Pompeo or... You know,
No, he's now a Secretary of State, and isn't it that one? It's a woman that's the head of the CIA now.
What's her name?
State.
Yeah, whatever. So
he's doing all the waterboarding and all that stuff.
Right. No, I remember who you're talking about. She was in Indonesia or something, and you know, whatever. But I'm going, all right. They're coming out saying, no, we got evidence that MSB or something. What do they call him by? MBS, MB, whatever.
MBS.
MBS. So MBS, you know, Muhammad, what's his name? Ben Salman, whatever. MBS, he's up there going, they go, we got you ordering the hit. So the CIA off the reservation, good guys, representing somebody else, part of Trump's plan, you know, that we got this over here, but I'll cover for you if, you know what I mean? What do you think's going on?
Well, what it appeared to be that the guy who was the crown prince before MBS, I can't remember his name, Bin something, whatever, probably is probably what it is. And what it appeared to be that he was the CIA's guy. And so when the king replaced him with MBS, all of a sudden their CIA's guy wasn't in there anymore. So it's almost like there's probably some sort of double dealing going on to make sure that we can get rid of this guy to put in our own guy. And so Trump would rather have the guy that's not on the CIA payroll versus, you know, not that any of these guys are good guys and playing all these mental gymnastics over here, but it seems like that's the best indication of what's going on.
Trump went to Saudi Arabia and, you know, our arms around and we're all buds and everything, it was for a reason. And then we have, you know, this, it was like a NFL touchdown celebration between Putin and MBS at the G20. What was going on there?
Well, there was a very funny meme from that I think I sent to you guys in a text message where it showed, you know, Putin and MBS meeting, and then it shows Trump in the background.
Jealous.
And it shows like this. Yeah, it showed like the jealous boyfriend type look over there. And, you know, I support the president, but, you know, it was not in everything he does, obviously, but, I just thought it was funny nonetheless. And so, you know, it wouldn't be a Trump report without the signed Trump hat that we're putting right here on screen that I got before the election. Just thinking that he would
Who signed it?
Probably the RoboPen of Trump, but
okay. So you got one of the okay. I thought you kind of went all clandestine or something. All right. So now Saudi Arabia, they're gonna stay buds, and we're gonna keep them in. And then, we have Rand out there saying Rand Paul going, nah, we shouldn't be selling them any kind of deal. I'm wondering what role all this plays. Whatever they say is not the truth. That's not what's going on. No matter what they're telling us.
Everything that Trump is doing is a short-term economic steroid, and so you think it's just like the typical, CEO is thinking quarter to quarter, and so Trump is just trying to make it to 2020, so that way he gets elected again in 2020. Whatever short-term steroids they need to do, because ultimately, if the dollar is backed by debt, and we've got to create more money to pay off the existing money, we're in this bondage we can never get out from. So the whole thing is eventually going to collapse. But if we can do this, and maybe the grand hope we're still holding out here as libertarians is maybe he'll do something with the Fed. And a lot of people right now are taking victory laps that he is calling out the Fed. However, he's calling them out for the wrong things. He's calling them out because they're not keeping his bubble going. He wants them to keep the bubble going. He's not, he's not chastising for the fact that they're blowing these bubbles to begin with. And I've got a phone call coming up at the next hour, so I'm not sure if I'm not going to be on the next hour. So I just before we went.
We got Tarzan.
Yeah, so before we go to the next break, I just want to let people know that for the rest of this month, if any of your listeners or anyone who hears this hears me, that we're not going to have any setup fees on the Crypto Self-Direct for the rest of the month. So if you just talk to me before the end of the month, even if we don't get it set up by the end of the month, if you guys talk to me by the end of the month, and then we, in a reasonable time period, let's say end of January, start getting things rolling to move things over, then no setup fees. Because a lot of this, by the time there's such a long lead time, by the time I make any money, it's 6 months out from now. So, from a business planning perspective, it's not good, but it is the best time to get into this stuff. Because if you're waiting, let's say Bitcoin crashes another 50% tomorrow, and now you want to get in, well, it takes about a month to set one of these bad boys up. So you want to be waiting in the wings, have your money ready. We can get things rolling for you. And also, the fees, existing people staying the same, the grandfathered in, but the fee ranges are going up. So instead of 0 to 100, the new category is gonna be 0 to 250. Basically, all the new people will be seeing fees going up if you don't get in to see me soon.
Because you get busy. I got time, and then there's I don't have time. Fees go up.
Exactly. And it's, the libertyadvisor.com. You can schedule me there. I've got a bunch of podcasts, probably 100 hours worth of stuff you guys can hear going all the way back when. Highly recommend.
I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to get, Liberty Advisor predictions. And then we mark them in our calendar on our email to send us the reminder of how close was he.
Go to the prediction from the January 26th episode where I said the worst thing you can do is be short the volatility index. And 2 weeks later, the volatility index blew up and the funds that were short lost all their money. Do you need a better prediction than that one? The client video I came out with, called Tim's Contrarian Reasons for the Market Going Down. And I released it the day the market went down. That was just a coincidence, but... sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. But no, libertyadvisor.com, you get all the info you need there. You guys can come talk to me, and eventually it'll probably get big enough where it'll be more of a Peter Schiff deal where I can't promise I can handle everybody myself. But for right now, we still have the size and scale where I can do that. So the libertyadvisor.com, appreciate you guys having me, and I'll be heading over there soon to probably help out get all the Zoom and everything, all the other video equipment up and running. And that was great trying to fill in.
Well, what about tomorrow? I mean, today I need to finish routing everything, but, what do you think tomorrow?
Let's see here. I know I've got a pretty big, let's see, or is that today that's busy? Yeah, I could probably do it tomorrow as long as I parlay this into,
Let me know.
I'll let you know.
Thursday, whenever, we start. I'm just now... I got a lot of stuff to do. A lot of it's just right. I got it working. So now I got to get three more HDMI. Man, I went HDMI. I got HDMI cables coming up my ass, man. I scavenged everything. I need to get more. So I need to get three extensions, and then I'm pretty much got the equipment I need. Then it's positioning, and then we've got to start playing with the green screen. Have you guys come in, and we'll do that. And So it's just a you know, I hadn't even opened the manual on the switcher yet because this thing has got all kinds of, I'm afraid. So we'll get it all taken care of.
Well, if you just download the Zoom, we could even do it remotely where I don't have to come over there, and I'm sure I can just walk. I mean, it should be super easy.
Yeah, but you know.
We could just try it once, and if I need to go down there, we can go down there. So. But no, I mean, for that one is relatively easy. And then even I could be on green screen, even from here. I mean, so I've got the green screen right above me that it's flipped up to. And with Zoom, there's one button, and it's a gram adjust button. It literally says, you know, green screen background. You can hit the button and it changes it. So,
all right, here I'm doing it. Quit your whining. Zoom.
Just like you say, if you bitch long enough, it eventually gets done. So.
I know, man. Everything that I'm, you know, quantum, here it comes. There's so much stuff. All right, Zoom video conferencing.
The last thing I want to show you is, so this computer I didn't even have turned on. I just wanted to pimp the Belay of the State. So I just put my.
I saw that. Thank you.
So I'm not even using this computer right now. I just wanted.
All
to
right, so I gotta, you know, join the club here. What's the deal? Sign up free, your email. So this is what I got to sign up in here.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do it this second, but it just makes it easier. So that way you can, I mean, in the meantime, while you're trying to set everything up and dick around with everything, it would be an easier way to get side by side for the viewers. And then you could even have it where it just zooms right into, you know, the person that's talking. So there's different settings you can put on there. But no, it should be pretty easy to walk you through. But I've got that conference call that I'm 1 minute late to right now.
All right, go.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, yeah. Now we get to do, you can actually see the magazine covers. You know, the resolution's a lot better. So now we're all pretty and everything. Tarzan Keith in. You know, we're gonna rip off all his solar power. Are we telling people about that?
Please, yes.
We're gonna do that because the miners, you know, are not, conducive to making money when it's this low. But if you have free electricity... You got free electricity?
Free electricity.
You're extra? You got a whole bunch?
Surplus.
You know, and then we got Bob doing it. We got Scott doing it. We got, you know, there's others, you know, around. We have some friends I sent up to supporters up north that they need one of their workshops heated. Their employees are like, hey, man, we got to go. Hey, can we use, will this? Yes, it will. You will have plenty of heat in them there, you know, chilly areas. Because they were going to put in a wood-burning stove thing and so on. And I know it'll work. because they have like a set amount. That's a lot of these guys that have data centers. They have a set dollar amount for their electricity. They buy in these big office buildings or like hospitals or strip centers. You get, you know, with the rent, you get so much. You get free electricity along with the rent. Well, then they're like, whoa, what the hell? We got to renegotiate that contract, you know, kind of thing. Well, there's a lot of these guys that they're using that for their miners. Or they have a server farm and people paying for that, you know, the electricity. Well, hell, we got extra, you know, do miners. So for us, that's what we're doing. We're starting to spread out here in Arizona, the guys that have solar. Because the extra, what do you do with the extra? Burn it?
No, unfortunately, it gets sold back to Arizona Public, not service.
For a minuscule amount of rip-you-off?
For a minuscule that's going to rip you off and then also cause traffic jams when you're trying to go downtown to the Rhythm Room to do some dancing where they have all the roads blocked off for the APS-sponsored electric light parade so all the children can have a good old fun time.
You know, we went to we've gone to that before. It's pretty fun. Because they started at a church we used to go to at North Phoenix Baptist up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where all the floats are. And it's just a float, but it's all Christmas lights.
Yes. But, boy, that traffic was screwed up.
Oh, Hancock. No, they cut off. They split the city in half. You're not allowed. You can't get there from here.
You can't. Nope.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So, my flying car, until that is reality.
Which be a coming pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Are you in the East Valley where you see those Waymo self-driving cars everywhere?
Still have not seen one. I live on the west side for the most part.
We go to the West Valley, the East Valley, for the kids' soccer games and so on. And I am telling you, they are everywhere.
It's all about Chandler, Gilbert, Scottsdale.
Oh, the other thing that's out there are those electric scooters.
Well, now Arizona State University said, not on my turf.
Really?
Yeah, didn't you see that they confiscated them?
Well, they do. Oh, yeah, they were, putting them up for bribery, for ransom.
I don't know what exactly they're doing, and I just saw the headline, so I didn't read all the fine print. But I was down in Tempe quite a few times, and it's like these scooters are whizzing by like Frisbees. Woo, woo, Frisbees on a Sunday park. Yeah.
Okay, do you know how they work, how the deal
I'm
is?
I'm about to know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the gist that I get of it is that this company makes these electric scooters, okay? You get on, boom, and they whizzing down the street. The whole concept is that last mile thing. They get you to take public transportation, but, how do I get to my whatever the hell, hauling my...
My folding bike is what gets me there.
Right, so and that's what they're... But then you got to... carry it with you. You got to have it.
That's all right. It's free exercise.
Chained up. See, you're so optimistic. Now, some of the people are like, I don't want to have to worry about this damn thing and somebody going to rip it off and do it. I got to carry it around.
That's why I carry a gun with you.
I'll tell you if you quit. So this, you have the scooter, electric scooter. You get off of the bus and you're right there at the bus station. Somebody else dropped it off. Well, you go up to it and it's an app on your phone. So I guess you pay something. There's some kind of money involved. So you go and you go blip, and it unlocks it, and it turns it on. It knows where you're at. They geo-positionally who did what where. You think Uber's bad. This has definitely got you. So then you go whizzing down to visit whatever the hell you want to do with it, and wherever you drop it off, you leave it. You just, and I'm done, and you just leave it. Well, somebody else has a geo-positional GPS of that, and they go around and pick them up and take them home and charge them. They get paid for charging them. Then they take them out, and they go put them back out, and then that's where they get paid to get a percentage of whatever because they charged it. They get a portion of the electricity used on it.
I could do that then as a part-time job.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys are making $100, $200 a day doing this. That's good work for somebody who wants to do it. And they got the electrical plug in the back of the subway or something somewhere. McDonald's, their extension cord of We Got It.
That is always the tricky thing because I usually bring my Uncle Bob's Mighty Tasty Hot Cereal with me. And I usually need a plug in to have some of that Uncle Bob's Mighty Tasty Hot Cereal gluten-free. But unfortunately, I know, you'd love it. So unfortunately, some of these places that you see an open plug back in the day... open plug was dead, so the breaker was shut off unless the maintenance man's there to take care of business.
Yeah, somebody backed up their RV or something.
You got it.
So this is what is going on, and they have, and a lot of people, they're just piling up like cordwood, and a lot of them, they just throw them in dumpsters. The cities are going, you're not doing it right, you didn't get our permission, and of course the taxi cab union bitching about whatever. So, it's finding its way. It's the same way with Lyft and Uber. It's the same kind of thing. Now you got Lyft and Uber bitching. About competition or something. So this group, they just go, we didn't ask permission. You just did it. Well, you didn't ask us permission. Yeah. Do we need to? Were we supposed to? Is there? How do you want to go? They're just doing it and then negotiating later. It's better to, beg
for
forgiveness.
Yes.
Than ask for permission. So this is what Austin, Texas, they were years on and off on Uber and Lyft and all that because what did they do? You go to Austin, they have these little micro cars, these little smart cars or even smaller, they're smart cars that are parked at like parking meters that are there to use like these scooters. You just, you know, have a fee. You just get in, you drive it around, you stop and drop it off, and you're done. You know? So they were like, oh, we don't need Lyft. Oh, my God, a scooter. But a scooter, especially at ASU, well, I can see that's, like, perfect.
They take over the bike lanes. They take over the sidewalks. It's crazy. They go in and out of busy nightclub traffic, waiting to get into nightclubs. It's just crazy. They're hopping curbs. They're going in and out, weaving out of traffic. It's funny. It's actually pretty cool to watch. I mean, it's like a competition. I can see the X Games having open competition. Pick your city.
They're called birds or something, right?
I don't know what they're called.
Something like
that. These kids can weave in and out. You thought skateboards were, you know, these scooters.
You know, Bob was thinking his sons, you know, like doing the razors at the skate park. So he's like, let's go get one of those and see how they do at the skate park. I'm sure, you know, somebody's been doing it. You know, I like the idea.
Well,
because
yeah, of course.
I think I liked it because they just did it. And then you're going to work it out because what's happened, people are like, hey, man, I'm walking here. So there will be citations. There will be, you know, some kind of pushback.
Got to catch
something.
Me first.
Right. There's going to be some kind of pushback of whatever back. But eventually it'll. And it was just a solution that the free market went, solution, done, next, solution, got a solution.
Well, with the free market, unfortunately, these things, they do kind of are a nuisance. They're almost like a mosquito.
Which will have a solution.
Yeah, they'll be right. You
know. Yeah, no, they're throwing them in dumpsters. People will bitch. It'll be some kind of, you know, detente will eventually happen. You know, baseball bats to the head will cure a lot of that. You know, I mean, you'll there'll be something. Yeah, what is that? Louisa? What the hell is that?
That's your barbed wire bat.
I know. What's the name?
From
Lucille.
The letter of Captain Mark.
A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Yeah, we're getting all the buttons and stuff done and set, and at least it's a lot clearer. You know, if we're going to be doing video, we had to, you know, up our game, because we had... we got that first video switcher back in like 2009 when we first built the studio, and that was old school, 4-pin kind of firewire or whatever the hell. And all this, now it's HDMI.
Better than the RCA TV back in the day when I grew up watching cartoons.
Pedaling your bike to power it because your dad wouldn't let you go in.
That's
with a
right.
12-volt battery of you know, whatever.
Dude, I'm still waiting. You know, I work for the YMCA as well. I'm still waiting for the first gym that it's actually powered by the participants, by the
no freaking yeah. way.
So if you have a spin class, the music's powered, the fans are powered, the lights are powered. And,
yeah. yeah, everybody get the pedaling, man. The lights are getting dim.
That's exactly it.
You know, the reason I said that, there was a special they did. God, it was like in the 70s or something, and it's, you know, like CBS Morning or some crap like that, and they had a father. Didn't want his kids just sitting there watching TV all the time. So they had an inverter with a couple of batteries over there, and it was a bicycle, exercise bicycle, and it turned an alternator, and they would sit there and pedal to be able to watch cartoons on Saturday.
Love it.
So then he and his sister, and these guys are like 8, 9, 10, and he goes, yeah, sometimes we'll take turns charging the batteries Friday night so we can just like sit there and eat cereal and watch cartoons
George
on
Jesse.
Saturday morning. And I'm going, very cool, very cool. Then, of course, you know, all this exercise equipment, the resistance can be power. It is power. Convert it to electrons.
Watts, yeah. Watts. You create watts with, yeah.
So I'm just like, you know, all right, get on it. Let's do it. Well, this is what's going to, and that would happen if energy wasn't subsidized so much. You know, subsidized with a navy, subsidized with a war, subsidized with the subsidization, subsidized with the subsidized that we bought strategic, fill up our military gas tank of,
Government helped Elon Musk. Even though I like Elon, government helped that old boy a lot.
You know, I think they had these programs before him. You know, they did Solyndra and all this other crap that they wasted. He actually, like, he goes, I'm building a car. And they go, you're being subsidized. He goes, no. The car subsidized. I don't remember seeing the money. You know, I didn't get. But you know, of course, you know it goes in. But whenever you do a subsidy, it just makes it more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I remember in the late 70s when Carter did drive 55. That's when, you know, the 55 mile an hour speed. It used to be 75, 80, none. It'd be warp speed across Texas. Then they go 55. And it was a national security, we need to lower our oil demand of, which was all BS anyway, but 55 to lower oil consumption. That's what that was about. And the first state to go back to 75 was Arizona. It was when they said, they go, we're going to, by this date, and Governor Evan Meekum just goes, no, we're done. Next, we just upped it. You know, so then they go, well, we got federal. Yeah, we'll get your federal guys out here to give them tickets because we ain't doing it. Then they changed the signs, and it was like a big deal that he did in an extra week or some crap like that. They were just, didn't like it. So 55 was that. Well, they started subsidizing solar water heaters to reduce demand. So they go, we're going to go solar. Well, solar had like a $200. Well, the price just went up $200. You know, I mean, so you do the subsidy, you just raise the prices. So is that what's going on with Elon? Probably. But, whether is he not supposed to take advantage of it? Should he not do it?
You got a point. Yep.
I mean, he's going, okay, and I did it really good. So now what? So, but there is limits. After a certain number of cars, it starts to go away. And I think he's reached his limit, unless they redo something. And I don't think he cares. We'll see what happens. So, you're out at Mayo. You're saying, it's flu time. Don't they make you get your shots?
In the past 7, 8, 10 years, but I've
did
always...
Did you get them?
Come on, Ernie.
Well, how'd you do it? Did you go, I'm afraid?
I did not have to. Yeah, there are options, option boxes when you do refuse. They'd like to know the reason why. But this year,
I'm amazed they even let you.
I was not pressured at all. Well, it was interesting. They would put a mask. You would be required to wear a mask. And even other hospitals, I think things that were even more, a bit vicious. But they did not make me sign anything.
Do you wear a mask?
Nope.
Right. So now when you go in, they say, get in line, Keith. And they go, never mind.
No, they didn't. No flu shot. They had no pressure at all.
Well, did they have them available?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, a couple people asked if I had it, and I said, no, I don't. I don't do flu shots. I don't. Yeah. So
they just said, let it go. And they just.
Yep.
So you think it's changing?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many employees now at Mayo. So many employees. It's huge. I mean, the medical industrial complex is really big, and all these demographic changes, the baby boomers, the great bump, and these people aren't quite as healthy perhaps as their parents. The longevity is still there, But
they're sucking them dry while they're dragging it out.
Oh, man.
Well, so now are you saying that you're not alone anymore? Is there a lot of people that's not doing it? What?
I don't know. I haven't even really asked. I'm too busy at work. But I think most people do get the flu shot.
Yeah, I'm not digging it, man.
I'm not digging it either, and neither is Karen Kikowski or whatever her.
Karen Kotowski.
That's her. Yeah, she's big anti, or pro.
Get it or not get it.
No, she does not believe in that stuff. So.
Well, I'm looking for some trends in this stuff, and Dr. Mikovits, she's been getting a lot of street cred now.
Oh, that's the one I meant to talk about. Mikovits, yeah.
Yeah, Mikovits.
Yeah.
Well,
not the other one.
Well, Karen, I don't think she's a big vaxxer either. But Dr. Judy Mikovits, she has been getting a lot of interviews, all the data and everything she had, they're just poo-pooing it. And now all of a sudden everybody's going, well, God, she's been saying this and this turned out right. It's kind of what? You know, yeah, but the science magazine of this and this department of, and they don't like it, you know, like as if it matters. Their credibility is diminishing rapidly. So I'm not sure, even with Bayer buying Monsanto and Monsanto's, you know, and their stock going, taking a dump, and they're doing, there's something else afoot here.
So it may have reached peak flu and vaccination last year. Now it's on the
This is one thing I asked Paul Rosenberg years ago when we first started interviewing him, and I said, man, do you think we're at peak tyranny? I feel like we're at peak tyranny. Go, oh no, you're never at peak tyranny, but I think we're at peak obedience.
That's what he said.
Yeah,
peak obedience.
We're at peak obedience. You know, that's one thing that L. Neil Smith talks about gun laws. He goes, I think America's, you know, obeying their last gun law. I think we're done. You know, so it's general public opinion. It's what I keep talking about. It's just opinion. What happens when the opinion is your opinion, Mr. Shiny Badge government man, means nothing to me and I don't care. You know, that's what they're afraid of more than anything else.
Well, I thought about, I watched Mark Victor had the DUI task force locations posted on an email I received yesterday. And that's an interesting thing. I have not gone through a DUI task force in some time, but I'd be curious if I happen to run against one here during the
holiday. We put up or goes up today or something. I saw it, might be on the page now, where he had, you know, how you deal with this. You know, well, I rolled up on a DUI checkpoint. What do I got to do or not do? The video by Attorney for Freedom, Mark Vicker. Attorneysforfreedom.com.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And I'm back. I'm still playing with my freaking buttons and so on. All right. What we're going to do is in the last two segments here, you know, what shall we talk about? Well, one of the things that I'm really building up towards predictions towards this next year. And I just want the audience and, you know, the guests that we got and everything build up towards the first week in January. Keith had to take off. I was saying goodbye. And the first week in January is when we go, all right, let's do the predictions. And we'll go back and look at last year's. And we'll see what happened. I'll start pulling those out. That's one of the things that we're going to be able to do with the, the switchers and so on, is that, let me push the, is it that one? This one. Nope, that one. Yeah, that one. Okay. I'm getting it down. I'm learning this here. The what we want to do is go ahead and pull these out, and we can start doing different videos. We got the green screen over here I've had for a long time, but we haven't been playing with as much. I got to get the positioning, different racks and shelving and so on, where lights go and everything, get this all set up, because we also want to be able to have a camera on guest in studio and then do some special videos. And there's a lot of it's been kicking in, you know, that I really wanted to do and spend some time on. And I might make it, I don't know, once a month, do a big thing, do some research on stuff I've always wanted to do. I just haven't had time and the equipment to really do it nice. And the main thing is to have it on a server where it can stay there and forever and always and none of your business and it doesn't go away. So now that we're starting to get into this new communication mediums, and I was talking to Ian Freeman over at Free Talk Live, LRN, they have different decentralized platforms that they already have set for me on the Discord and the Twitch and the blah, 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 blah. So I got accounts over there. So that's what Tempachot is going to help me with, and bringing those in and doing Zoom. And we do side by side with guests and we all this stuff. But I had to get the equipment in. And I tell you, this was a thing. And over the years, it turned into a spaghetti monster back here, all this wiring. And, you know, it's a lot better now that I got it going. Then I'll make it even a little neater, know where, what, find out which cable goes to mic three over here. Where is that one? Yeah, I know it's underneath there somewhere. So we'll get this all set up. I'm glad we got it. You know, last night we kind of did the finishing touches on this. But this is what it does, you know, as far as you guys are concerned. There's going to be a demonstration. It's a quantum reality thing. I'm going, if I take one step towards it, boom, it happens. It's just the way it is. Just a timing thing. It's a, you know, welcome to my world and my reality of what I want to accomplish and do and what do I need to do. And kind of you take a step and then boom, it explodes all over the place. And a lot of it is just by the time I'm able to afford it or be able to do it, it means it's open up to a lot of other people is what it really means probably, is that now you have the equipment and the capability, the desire and the need for these things. You can fill a need or create a need to be filled and then fill it. Well, you know, if you got a need and you fill it, you know, then you demand. Well, what's the need? It's a perspective. One of the benefits I never realized until it was like 07, during when the Lovolution started. I was always the kid. You know, I started this in late 80s, and you know, I'm 27, 28, 29 years old before I was in my 20s. And all of a sudden we're doing all that. What do you know? What do you know? What do you know? And it was, I was being BS'd all the time. Uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. I was being lied to all the time. And I understood it was going to be credibility. Who do you believe? Well, then you have to have the capability to get it out. And people go, man, I'm not believing the crap that's going on now. You know, there's something else. Okay, well, you have a lot of, but that's, the perspective is just, it takes too long. And Ernie will go on and on and on. Because I'm filling time 3 hours a day. I'm, you know, entertaining you. And we get to learn something, say, yo, what's up? You know, try and keep it creative and fun. And we learn stuff. And we have different people on. And we'll be scheduling, you know, some great guests again. We already had planned, you know, for tomorrow. Next day, we'll get some good stuff up. But the big thing is that I want to do a segment that will be at the end of the week, probably be a Friday afternoon after I did the whole week. And I mark, you know, I'll make notes of what segment and what comment by what, you know, I got the audio clips here. We can do the video. We can pull. I probably just do it with audio. And at the end of the week, it'll be skip to the end with Ernest Hancock. Now, I'll have some pirate stuff that we'll do, regular things, and more research and the long format videos that I want to do. But the time for editing and getting people, that's just such a pain in the butt, where I could set it up and go through it with you, and I can just push buttons, you know, boom, 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 and, you know, play with it that way. So I'm then it's done. At the end of it, we record it, put it up, it's done. So I don't have to go through a bunch of editing. It may not be as clean, and we may do some video editing and make them really cool. We'll do that too. But, you know, what I really want is to not be burdened by a lack of time. It's the end of the week. I have accumulated some sound clips. I get some clips and so on from, you know, 15 hours of radio each week, you know. So you take it, you go, this one, this one, this one, this one, and the stories are on Freedom's Phoenix, stuff that we talked about, highlights of whatever, you get it set up. Boom, 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 boom. Skip to the end with Ernest Hancock at the end of the week. And you do 5-10 minutes, and man, I'm good. Because I, you know, just skip to the freaking end. Boom, 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 boom. In the show notes, we have the archive. Here's all the links you want to go look and watch and see and more of. There it is. But this perspective, things are going to start happening really fast. And without the background, without understanding, you know, the genesis of a lot of this stuff, or where the resources are, or the people that really know what they're saying, well, CNN, I don't give a crap what they say. CNBC, Fox News, it doesn't matter. MSNBC, blah, 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 blah. So we skip to the end. This guy said this about that. This is my opinion. I get to have my opinion because I get to have my opinion. You know, get over it. There, I get the right buttons. Damn. So this is what, and then we got, you know, sharper. That's one of the things that we didn't have is that we weren't able to, the other mixer, not to have clear enough screen so that you could read what was on the screen. You know, this is, you know, a big deal when you're trying to, you know, demonstrate shows. So I know a lot of the other guys have been doing it. There's another thing, too. I have in here, I don't know, God, man, I got three mouses right here. I can go into, boom, the webcam. Now, this is one I can go, hello. And then, so we have this for doing documents. You know, it's like I can put something down on the desk and we can go over different things. Because that was one thing that was important also, is that we be able to show you things when we're building different stuff. Because I wanted to hear a lot of the stuff is small. We can actually build right here and show you the how-tos on your FM broadcasting for radio. We want to make pirate broadcasting. You know, we're going to get all pirate on the FM transmitting of, I got that Chinese device of, I got my whole neighborhood. We're going to be doing that. We have the Wi-Fi that we have a Wi-Fi hotspots that you can put any data you want, including fully informed jury information in the parking lot of the court system. Oh, I wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. Then we have solar power. We're going to be doing the solar power generators that we have that are really cool. And I can just build it on the desk with the actual equipment list of you're never without power to your laptop, your phones, a charger. You got a little kit that, boom, you're taken care of. And the reason I did that is that a friend of mine, Bob, had his setup when we went to Jackalope, and I didn't bring any of my stuff because it's just too bulky. I had some solar panels, and it's just a pain in the ass. And he's going, look, man. I go, wow, this is a cool set. You could put this in one of those little cases. So you buy these cases on sale at Harbor Freight. That's a sealable Pelican thing for almost nothing. And I got $20 for a big one. And I go, oh, hell yeah. Well, we got a generator batteries. You know, they're these big generators that have a starter on them. At Harbor Freight, they had little batteries for their 12-volt batteries, but about the half the size of a car battery. You put that in there with a 400-watt inverter, and, you know, hell, you can do 1,500-watt inverter with this one. Fits in this cape, boom. I got a big size, a medium, and a small size. And these are, you can run all kinds of stuff. So we're going to be doing a lot of that, and that's what we're going to start doing into the crowdfunding. Now, a lot of you guys, you know, you can, you know, do it this way or that way, or you should do whatever. We got, you know, PayPal, you can do contributions. We'll set up a, you know, Patreon thing and some of our own funding center stuff, and we'll do whatever. You know, we'll get it all set up, but you're going to start getting some goodies out of us. That's why we did this, guy. I think times are going to get interesting.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. I get to the music thing too. I'm sitting here playing with, you know, the show, the articles that I want to make sure that we talk about. You know, this is a, I'm interested in how we're going to be, I'm looking at the wrong, I'm using the wrong mouse. There's a lot of stories here that are of interest to me, and I'm sure to you too. And it's, I want to go, God, man, what is, I got to get, got to learn my mouse thing here. Am I doing it right? I got this over here doing that. Is it not working? Dang it. I was getting it all set for you guys. I wanted to do, there we go. Okay. Let me go ahead and do this. The French have had enough. Oligarchs, beware. This is Luke Radowski. I watched this, and it's kind of what's really going on behind the scenes in France. There is, they do not like this idea. There's not enough. They got a fuel tax going on, and it is just killing them. And people are doing, nope, hell no. We don't. I think the battery in my mouse is going to turn it off and on. Yeah, there we go. And so we want to pay attention to what's going on there while they're doing the G20. Now, here we have, there's an article. Oh, come on. Is I'm taxing it too much? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Yeah, you're taking too much memory. I guess it does that. Well, the Macron, the Prime Minister of France, has decided to not, they're going, yeah, okay, I tell you what, we'll go ahead and we'll not have that tax hike on fuel. because people are in the streets. Because when you do a tax on fuel, and what they did is they passed a tax on, Donna, do me a favor, put me two new batteries in this one real quick. What you're doing is you're taxing the less privileged. If you got a 50-cent a gallon tax on fuel and you're filthy, stinking rich or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, I you know, when we go and do the SUVs over here and they're like 20 whatever gallons, I remember, you know, it's either it could go as low as $38 to fill it up to as high as $88 depending on the price of gas. Well, now that the gas is, you know, price per barrel has gone way down, it hasn't really manifested at the pump. This is all manipulated. It's all, you know, it'll shoot up in a weekend or some threat or whatever at the pump, but when the gas prices start going way down again, it doesn't show there that much, you know, and not so quick. And then there's a little bit of gas war, and it depends what the election cycle is and, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm not digging it. You know, if you have a tax on fuel, what are you dealing with? You're dealing with the how it's affecting the poor. That's what's going on. So here, I got better batteries, so that's good. All right, now we have the Richard Grove helped with the interview for a lot of the movie that James Corbett did, the third and final sequel of the World War One conspiracy. There's part one, two, and three, and three was just released. So I'm going, all right, very cool. Well, now you got, okay, wait a minute. I got the wrong camera in on this. See, I got to learn all this stuff. Heck, man, shoot, fire, boy. Get this over and go, boom. There we go. Okay. Yeah, I pay attention to which one's going where. Now, Richard Grove did an interview with him, and he took sections of that out to do his documentary, and then he put the whole interview up. You go to thecorbettreport.com, and you watch the interview that he did with Richard Grove, which is, you know, a source for a lot of the information that he got on these guys and who we're dealing with. But now it's going forward, and there hasn't been enough linking. They're doing a really good job of getting who these bad guys are, have been, and you get World War One and how it goes into World War Two, and then it goes into the Korea, and then it goes into, you know, the wars and infiltration of and the secret handshake clubs of Bilderberg and Trilateral and whatever the hell. And a lot of these people have, you know, a lot of the information on these, but who makes the connection? Where's the connection? So I'm looking for the connection. Well, that's what James and Richard and these guys are doing right now. So I'm going, okay. So you want to go see that, you know, take a look at that. Plus, there was interview that Richard did with the HSBC guy on his site, tragedyandhope.com. And that guy described, you know, but in light of this, this is what's coming. The story here, SpaceX launched 64 satellites in record-breaking mission. And you can watch the mission. I'll go ahead and play this here. We can do this because I want you to see the landing of it. Now, the first stage, you look at it here, it is blackened. You know, this is the third trip of this one Falcon 9 booster. So it's came in at what? You know, it's been coming in at the third time and landed. I don't know how many more times can they use this thing. And it come down and landed and said, there it comes. Boom, 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 boom. And it landed on a robot ship out in the ocean. Well, you know, the ship, I don't even know if it's crewed. I don't think they have anybody on it. And it just comes and delivers it back. There it is. And it's getting kind of, I don't know, even wash it. They sure as heck don't repaint it. You know, we're not, you know, it's how fast can we turn this bad boy around? Then it went on to complete the mission and put up 64 communication satellites. You know, so it opens up the fairing, and the fairing that comes off, the nose cone kind of splits in two parts. Well, that's like $1 million. Man, we could save that. It'd be worth saving. So they got this big ship out in the ocean as it parachutes down and kind of steers with a paraglide, I guess. They got this, they just missed it. You know, that, they landed in the ocean. They missed it. I don't know why you can't just go retrieve it or put a, you know, floaters on it and go get it later. I mean, I don't, you know, if it's carbon fiber or whatever, who cares if it got salt water on it? You know, rinse the bad boy off. So they're going to be, you know, doing a bunch of this stuff, so I'm hip to that. Well, these communication satellites here, you keep hearing me talk about it. Well, they just put up 60+. Here we go. Hello, what did you think I was talking about? James Comey reaches a deal with the congressional Republicans to come talk to him. I'm interested in what Comey is going to say and what they're going to do about it. Nothing. You know, it's nothing. Nothing. Whatever. ISIS, terrorism. They're threatening groups, ISIS groups, New York City, New Year's threat. Harvest them with silencers and snipers. You know, so they're like this Las Vegas, you know, Pollard thing. They're just going to be all up in the high rises and they're going to start plinking people in Times Square. You know, start taking them out. They're going to get some. And you kind of, if that's what they, them, those need to justify they need us or do something, you know, get people all riled up, that's exactly what they'll do. If they need to, that's what they'll do. You know, do you need terrorists to do it? You know, and why are there terrorists? Who are they mad at anyway? You know, all this is going to start coming out, but they don't investigate it as a crime. It's always some state actor and an excuse to go bomb somebody. Yeah, I'm going, no. It's all about to hit the fan. In this episode, I address the scandalous connections between the players in Uranium One scandal and the recent actions by the Mueller witch hunt team, blah, blah, blah. This is that Bongino guy. I think it's Don or Dan Bongino. He wrote the book, Spygate. You know, and it's all about the people involved in going after Trump, the Never Trumpers, who in the lineup of these guys. It's interesting. It's very interesting, all the connection. It's just how incestuous this whole thing is. But what did I always say? I go, look, I think Trump is just using all of this information and assume he knows as art of the deal, negotiating for whatever the hell they're doing. Now, here we got Bitcoin SV. Craig Wright claims he'll have a manifesto ready for 2019. And I guarantee that manifesto is going to be, you know, all alts must die and we rule and we got, you know, the sanction of some government or something, as if that was a good thing. He's diminishing in the rearview mirror, man. He's a perfect example of the Wuha car that just kind of slips over the horizon in your rearview mirror and you forgot they were even there. And that's what he represents. I'm seeing that's coming. Let's get our skies ready for flying cars. Peter Thiel summed up a wide-felt disappointment. Now, Peter Thiel was partners with Elon Musk on PayPal. And he, you know, made a bunch of money on a bunch of other stuff, too. And I think he's was on the board with Facebook and all this other stuff. So what is he doing? He's summoned up a wide-felt disappointment with the technological status quo when he quipped, "We want flying cars. Instead, we got 140 characters. You know, like Twitter. The famed investor should buck up because he may soon be able to tweet or not from his taxi in the skies. Believe it or not, the technology is here. The real task is to set up the skyways across which they'll zip." So now it's not if we're going to have capability for flying cars, it's if it's going to be allowed here in America, and what are the lanes. It's going to be like Back to the Future lanes, man, in the sky. And I'm like, yee-haw. Oh, this anti-gun bill would require social media history and internet search information be used on whether you get to have a gun. Oh, man, this just keeps getting interesting. Since time-